strive to win. You know, that's what life is about. I want to talk about this word strive, though. I want to talk about it in the Greek just a little bit. We're going to center on that. It's important. Most of the places we'll be using it today, synandio, it's two Greek words. It means union, that means to be together, and it means to wrestle. The word is athalik, which our word athalik comes from. It means to strive, to fight, to contend, to be in good shape, disciplined, and ready to roll, ready to go. So what you have is working together to overcome. That's basically what the word means. And to all the discipline, training, exercise, ability that goes in with it as a group, as a body, we work together. When you don't work together, I'm sorry, you're going to be dropped to the side. So God will always use those that, as best they can, follow the call. That is not that God gave everybody the identical calling. He did not. But the word does not change. Always stick with the word. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And 2 Timothy chapter 2 reads with this subject in mind. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What is this word grace? It's chariz. Our word charisma comes from it. And when you practice that, it's a gift. It means gratuity. It comes from God. It comes from our Savior. If you deserve it, if you work for it, and that simply is to love Him and obey and follow Him, that grace comes to you. So be strong in it. You can afford to. It comes from Him. Verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You let the word grow. Let the good news flow. The gospel is the good news, and it's good for everyone. And God always trains teachers. That is to say, people that can plant seeds, people that can share that word of wisdom. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In other words, when you do what is right, Satan's going to come against you, son. You know, and rather than being frightful, say, so what? You know, who's he? He's a dead man walking. Christ has already sentenced him to death, and he's gave you power over him, as it's written in Luke chapter 10, verses 19 forward. So why would you be afraid of that? So naturally, when that hardness comes along, you get harder. And you in the Word of God. And know that that grace, that gratuity, protects you. Is over you when you walk with Him. And so that making you a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, following His Word. Verse 4, no man that warreth, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Who does the choosing? Well, I thought you volunteered. No, God will choose. God knows his election. They were chosen before the foundations of the world. It's good that everyone becomes Christian. But there are soldiers. That is to say, not literally, but in a Christian way, to be able to take the truth and share it to somebody that's hurting, somebody that's in trouble, that you can raise them up, you can give them hope. That same gratuity applies. That is to say, unmerited favor that God will lift, and God will use those whom He will to bring that to pass. And certainly, I hope you can see the election in that. God chooses some. You can plow deep. Keep plowing. Okay. Verse 5. And if a man also strive, that's the word we came here for. if you wrestle, if you strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully? You always wrestle, strive, train yourself in a positive way. It's got to be lawful. Well, according to man's law, well, that too, but mostly God's law. If you don't strive to follow God's law, fight perversion and all other things that come against it, you're not going to have God's blessings. So you have to do it His way. That's not asking too much. When He promises you that He will watch over you, that He gives you that gratuity, which is to say grace, charisma, if He gives that to you, that you're willing to make a stand, you're willing to say, I'm a man or a woman or a child of God, and I will stand, I will make that stand. And that stand, of course, doesn't compare to troubles of the world. By that I mean you don't involve yourself in those a great deal. You shun them and be wiser than the serpent and serve God instead. Verse 6. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. In other words, when you are a laborer in that field working for our Father, then you get to take the first fruits. Do you understand what that means? That means He blesses you. He gives you knowledge. He gives you wisdom. He gives you that charisma where you can reach people. And you can reach them with understanding. You will have the ability to take that is complicated and simplify it where a child can understand and enjoy the blessings that come from Almighty God. What a blessing it is to be led of God. And when the Holy Spirit is within you, people can sense that. They love you for that. So naturally, when you're a laborer in that, you're going to be able to participate in the first fruits. Well, what's that? It's the blessings of God. God blesses those. That's why they are so happy. That's why they are prosperous even. They have God's blessings, the first fruits. 7, consider what I say. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. You reflect on this. Think on it. Now, does that mean I get all understanding? No, God, don't read over that. God gives it. When something comes along that is complicated and you have difficult understanding it, pray about it and ask Him to make it clear. He'll give you that understanding if you really, truly are serving Him. And if you mean it, He'll clear it up in your mind and give you the ability to share that even. That's God's way. That's charis. Verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. In other words, the gospel I brought to you, I taught Christ defeated death. Verse 9, wherein I suffer, because I taught that, I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. I'm in prison here. I'm in shackles, Paul is saying. But the word of God is not bound. No one can bound the word of God. No one can bind it, that is to say. The word of God is free, it flows, it strengthens. Why? Because God's presence is there. And God always touches and He anoints those that have eyes to see and ears to hear. The word of God never changes. Verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Not just passing through, not just a short thing, but eternal, meaning forever, even into the eternity. To be blessed. I hope you noticed that election was mentioned there, as well as those that were chosen. Those that have ears to hear, let them hear. Those that have eyes to see, let them see the simplicity which is in Christ the Lord Jesus. His promise of leading, his promise of understanding, of wisdom, of leadership. Verse 11, it is a faithful saying. I mean, you can count on it. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. In baptism, you are submerged, symbolizing death. You are raised into eternal life. Verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. When you teach God's word, there's going to be bad things said about you, especially if you teach chapter by chapter and verse by verse. There will be things said, and they won't be true, but they will be said. And don't be one of these people that's so thin-skinned. You know who you are. You're a child of God. Do you think somebody saying something negative because you teach the truth should bother you? I would hope not. Who cares? They're going to hell, and you've got eternal life. If you're going to pray for somebody, pray for them. They need a shaking. They need awakening. They need to learn the truth, whereby they also can obtain that eternal life. Is it not strange that we strive, even though you are talked about, even to save those that would talk against you, that they could see that light? That's the real thing. That's the gratuity. That's the grace. That's the charisma that God gives to his election, those that are called. Verse 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Whether you believe or whether somebody else believes or not, it doesn't make any difference. This word is faithful. It's going to come to pass as it's written, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. You can count on it. Verse 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive, there's that word again, strive, not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. This word strive is not like the other. This word has to do with the word of God. It says in its content that you should fight, all right, but it is athlesis, meaning as the word itself. Don't be caught worrying about it. Don't fight concerning the word of God. If somebody has eyes to see and ears to hear, they're going to hear the word. And if they choose to argue about it, then you can pass over that. It isn't necessary. In other words, it is logos athleti, meaning don't contend over the word of God, over the logos, which is the word of God. You don't need to. You don't have to. God's word will stand on its own. God's word is complete within itself. If somebody has ears to hear, they won't argue with you. If they have eyes to see, they will not argue with you concerning the truth. Do not cast your pearls before swine. And keep your eye on God's word. God's word will always prevail. It will always be true. Man may not, but God's word will always be true. Verse 15, how do I attain this? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. His plan is written. That's why you study it, is to know what God says to us, what God's leading is. And when you follow that, you're going to be blessed. You know something? God can even use you as a blessing to others when you see that truth. And that smile you have because you love him, that's catching. People are drawn to that. They can sense the Holy Spirit, and they are drawn to it. God has a plan, and you study to show yourself approved. In other words, to improve yourself. Chapter by chapter, verse by verse, what God has to say. Not what this man or some other man might say, but the Lord God Almighty. 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. All it does is lead you further away from the Word of God. When it doesn't make sense to you, if you've studied God's Word and what is said doesn't make sense to you, you better be very careful. Analyze it. Check it out. Well, how do I check it out? In God's Word. God's Word is complete. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. But this is what it meant about logos wrestling. Don't listen to babbles. Verse 17, and their word will eat as doth a canker. That word in the Greek is gangrene. It'll eat you up. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus? What did they do? Verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. They claimed the first advent was it. You have to chronologically understand God's Word and the events that transpire to make the eternity. There's a second advent. He's coming. He's returning. Verse 19 to complete our reading here. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the Lord of the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That means depart from sin. What is this seal? It's the same seal written of in Revelation chapter 7. Don't let the end come until God's elect are sealed inside their forehead where your brain is, where that you absorb the truth. And what is Satan told in Revelation chapter 9, verse 4? Don't you dare go down and touch those that have the seal of God in their forehead. You leave them alone. And when you have that seal, and this is the seal that's spoken of here, that is given from the knowledge of Almighty God, understanding the end times, not as those two claiming the end had already happened. You know it hasn't, but it is going to. And you know the chronological order of events, basically as far as we are meant to understand them at this time. And you watch. Every watchman watcheth. Don't read in between lines and make things up that will turn into babblings or fiction. Stick with the Word of God, rightly dividing it. That shows you approved in the eyes of God, letting God know He can use you. Because you're with Him. How precious that is. Now, turn back to Philippians. Chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. We're going to pick it up with verse 25. And verse 25 reads, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Now, Paul was coming near the end of his line. He said, I think I'm about ready to make my trip to be with the Father. But I guess it's meant that I'm supposed to stay with you a while longer and to teach. 26. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again, hopefully. Verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, in case I go to the Father, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving. There's our word. Unity and wrestling. unity in one body, striving, working, wrestling together for the faith of the gospel, to understand that gospel. Do you understand what division does to a people? When somebody teaches, this has to do with your with yourself, with your family, with your county, with your nation, with the whole world. Those that love the Lord must be unified. That is to say, coming together with what? The Word. And with understanding. Fighting the good fight. Well, what is that good fight again? Studying God's Word, rightly dividing it to show yourself approved. Meaning you're worthy to teach God's Word, to plant seed, or whatever category God uses you for. You're able. And when you are able, that brings God's blessings. It's His promise. You can claim it. When you drop that little, it may not amount to much to some people when you plant a little seed, but it means a lot to your Father because He loves you. And when you plant that seed in His love, He reaches out. And He embraces you. That's His promise. That's what Kairos is the fact that He blesses and loves those that serve Him. So let that be your conversation as a unit in trying to understand God's Word in clarity, in the simplicity in which He taught it. 28, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. Don't let them shake you up one iota. Don't let them see you sweat on your first cruise. Why? You've got eternal life. You have the power of God watching over you when you use common sense. You don't have to let the adversary shake you. Quite frankly, he's afraid of you. When you practice what we're talking about here, when you have that charisma, Satan wants no part of you. And that very thing brings you eternal life. Verse 29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Little hardship comes along, big deal, we can cut it. Okay? I guarantee you one thing, there'll be double blessings following it. Do you remember when we read the scripture not far back about those that labor get the first fruits? God promises that. When you work for Him, you're going to get the first fruits. Well, what are the first fruits? I just answered it. It's a double portion. Okay. It's plenty. It's wonderful. I will take knowledge. To me, that's blessings. Knowledge and wisdom to be able to share is a double blessing. It's a wonderful thing. It's better than gold and silver, is to have the truth, the Word of God. Verse 30, to complete this chapter, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. In other words, I'm going to keep this up right to the very end. Doesn't matter to me. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to take this word forward regardless of what the enemy may say and or do. It doesn't matter. Turn to chapter 4 in this same book. And chapter 4 in this same book would read, verse 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, God longs for you, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. You make a stand. Make a difference. Never give in to perversion. Always do what a Christian would do, and God will bless you for it. I beseech Eudaius. Eudaius means fragrant. You know that was a girl? And beseech Syntyche. That means faith. That was a girl too. That's a woman. That they be of the same mind in the Lord. That they have that unity. That they continue They had helped him a great deal in the church. You mean women work in the church? That's what it says. Okay. Don't argue with the Word of God. And that they are of the same mind. Let's read on. Verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored. This word labored is the same word that we've been looking for, strive. The word labored is the same one. It's sun atlio. That is to say, be united and wrestle for the truth. Fight for it. Work at it. That these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. How can he promise that? When you serve God, and when you truly love him, striving, he puts your name in the book of life, overcomer. And there you have it. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Why? Because you love him. You love him enough to care. That gets his attention. He returns that love and protection. Always use common sense, and God will always see you through. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Times are bad and things bad are happening. You've got the truth. You have the glory of eternal life resting upon you. And you have the love of Almighty God. You can rejoice in that. So don't let the ways of the world rob you of that. Understand, well, there's bad things happening. Well, you've never read the Bible then, have you? Well, what do you mean, brother? Well, he warns you that bad things are going to happen. It's going to get worse and worse. So where are you? Are you some hothouse lily that has to be protected from everything? You can't carry your own weight? That you can't stand a little adversity when you have God on your side? Of course you can stand adversity, and of course you can make a stand, and of course you can make a difference. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord's coming. That second advent's going to happen. Have moderation. In other words, don't go overboard in any one thing. Be gentle. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. This careful means don't be anxious and don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Well, how do I do that? You talk to him. Do you know what prayer is? That's talking to the Father. It doesn't have to be some written thing. Talk from your heart to him. Let him know you love him. And don't worry about... He says here, worry about nothing. Why? Because God loves you. He's with you. And talk to him about it. When people of the world might get a little rough on you, talk to him. Hey, he knows how to take care of business, okay? Verse 7. For the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's a fortifier. It's strength. It is power. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Why? They come from God. And you can think on those things and thank him for it. Verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Don't just be a hearer, be a doer. And the God of peace shall be with you. When you do the things, well, what does that mean? Be honest, be just, be true. When you do that, God's going to reach down and touch you. He knows he can count on you. So do those things, 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. There was no way you could show it, but I felt it. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. When you really have God's blessings, you can take the good with the bad, because you know He's still on the throne. Verse 12, I know both how to be abased, I know how to be low, humbled, and I know how to abound. I know how to stand up there and lay the word out. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. God's word will do that for you, that you can be happy in whatever stance you're in. I know it's better to be blessed than it is to suffer. But sometimes that's part of it in this world. Well, how do you know that? Well, the word says it. Well, I just wanted to be like Jesus. Well, they crucified him. Okay. So, you know, so if they say something bad about you, big deal. You can cut it. Okay, you can stand it. Why? Because you're a child of God. And God looks down upon you. He blesses you. 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Don't ever forget that. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If you got any ideas? Got any? I've just had this dream. Well, think on. Is it legitimate? Is it true? Is it honest? Then you can do all things through Christ, not by yourself. Through Christ, which will strengthen you. You know something? This has to do with any kind of test, written, oral, or whatever. When you study and prepare for it, Christ will strengthen you where you'll ace it. You'll do that real good. Because He will strengthen you. Well, do I just wait for that? No, you ask Him. You talk to Him. You know, well, what is that? You talk to people you love. And if you love Him, you talk to Him. You let Him know, you know something, He loves you. And when you talk to Him, He's going to answer you. He's going to give you what is best for you. You can count on it. He may not give you what you want. It may be something that would harm you. But He's going to give you what is best for you. I can do all things. It's possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Likewise with yourself. That applies to Christians. In conclusion, turn to the great book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we'll pick it up with verse 30. And verse 30 reads, this is Paul written to the Hebrews. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Do you know where that's written? Do you know where that's coming from? It's Deuteronomy chapter 32. Do you know what it is? It's the song of Moses. And do you understand when you read Revelation chapter 15, those that overcome the enemy sing this song? God will take care of you. Vengeance belongeth to him. Well, they offended me. Then you don't have anything to worry about. God will take care of it. You can rest assured. God will see that they get what they got coming to them. For He loves His children. And He is that God of vengeance. Verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You don't want to do that. Our enemy is going to. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, after you first saw that beautiful light of truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. This word fight is athleo, which is to say, it's wrestling. You wrestled with it. But then you absorbed it. When you see that light, don't worry, the world's not going to be happy with you. Got that? So big deal. Who cares? I would rather be pleasing to God and have His blessings. 33, partly, whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. When you unified yourself with a group of believers, they might talk against you. That's fine. That's no problem as long as you are in the Word of God. Verse 34, for you had compassion of me in my bonds. Paul says, you loved me for bringing the Word, even though I was in prison. And I was in prison for teaching the Word of God. And took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Knowing that God does take vengeance. It's going to all turn out right real good. 35, cast not away therefore your confidence. Confidence builds character. Don't throw it away. Which hath great recompense of reward. It builds you, it shapes you, it builds your character. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Do you understand that God makes these promises? Do you know what He said in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 26? He said, remind me of my promises that I made to you. Let's talk about them so I can justify you. Well, why should I remind God? Has He forgotten? No, He didn't forget. He wants to know if you read it. That's what He wants to know. This is a promise. Remind Him of it. Claim it. And be blessed. He's waiting to hear from you. When you talk to Him, when you tell Him. Claim the promise. 37, for yet a little while, be patient. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. We're in the end times. He's going to return. The second advent will transpire. And how precious that will be. Now the just shall live by faith. That's what keeps you going. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. 39 to complete. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. That means sin and destruction. Why? We've got eternal life. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And that's what happens when you believe. Your soul is saved. You have that eternal life. It's His promise. Claim it. And even as you're claiming it, go back to the very first verse we read in this lecture. He promises you that charis, that's grace, unmerited favor. You may not even deserve it, but when you ask for it and you mean it, He may give it to you. Why? You're His child. Do you know that He created you different than anyone else? Because He wanted somebody just like you. But He does want you to love Him. Let's go to His throne. Heavenly Father. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your promise, Father. We claim that promise. Lead us, guide us, direct us. Let each of these be a blessing to all they come in contact with, Father. We ask it in Yeshua Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The Beast on CD.